The Golden Age of Radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the Golden Age of Radio, The Adventures of Little Orphan Annie. Smiling Ed McConnell has a song or two on Aladdin Lamp, and OSS agents are behind enemy lines during World War II on an episode of Cloak and Dagger. Stay tuned for the Golden Age of Radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, Smilin' Ed McConnell sings a song or two, and OSS agents are behind enemy lines during World War II on an episode of Cloak and Dagger. Right now, Annie and Joan build a radio transmitter on this episode of Little Orphan Annie, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
That little chatterbox, the one with pretty auburn locks. Whom do you see? It's little orphan Annie. She and Sandy make a pair. They never seem to have a care. Cute little she, this little orphan Annie. Bright eyes, cheeks of rosy glow. There's a store of healthiness handy. Might size, always on the go. If you want to know, Princess Sandy always wears a sunny smile. Now wouldn't it be worth the while if you could be like little Orphan Annie?
Here it is, time to hear Orphan Annie's latest big adventure. But first, here's a very important advance warning. Tomorrow night's the last night we'll be offering that beautiful gold-plated two-initial signet ring over the radio. Remember, this is the very same signet ring we offered to Ovaltine users last spring for 10 cents. And now that Annie's giving it free as a special favor to everyone who tries new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine, boys and girls by the thousands are snapping up this chance to get it. And that means orders are coming in and piling up fast. And since Annie's supply of these beautiful two-initial signet rings is limited, we'll have to stop offering them on the radio after tomorrow night. And so, if you haven't sent in for your signet ring yet, be sure to keep listening after tonight's adventure's over. I'll tell you then how easy it is to get your signet ring specially made up to your order with your own two personal initials right on it without sending in a penny. And now, getting back to Annie on that unknown island. Last time, Annie hit on the idea of building a radio set to send out a message. But can our friends do it? They brought ashore plenty of metal parts and wire from the shipwreck, but can they build a radio? Here are Annie, Joe, and Mr. Wilcox, just where we left them last time, and listen to Joe.
Shucks, Annie. Build a radio?
Yeah, maybe we could, Joe.
Gosh, if we could, we could get word back all right. But hop toads, Annie. To build a radio.
Yeah, I know it'd be a job. But if we could do it...
Can we, Mr. Wilcox?
Well, I don't know, Joe. Great Scott, this is a big proposition to my way of thinking. A radio. It's come into my head,
but... If we could, Bud.
Yes, I know. We could get word back to civilization in short order. Don't think I haven't thought of it before. I have.
You have, Bud?
Yes, plenty of times, Annie.
We've been lizards. Then my idea isn't new.
Not new, no. But it's put into words at last. Now, with Steele and those savages of his likely to make a fresh attack at any time, we ought to consider the idea seriously.
You bet we can. Gosh, if we can get this army we figured on started and then set up a radio station and start broadcasting the spot we are.
Now, just a minute, Joe. The army part we can do. because I don't think there's any doubt that Sapiti, feeling friendly toward us as he does now, will cooperate. But don't get it into your head that we can set up any big broadcasting station on this island and send messages out to the world, for we can't.
Joe and I know that, Bud.
Yeah, Annie and I used to have a little crystal set years ago we could hear things through.
And that was plenty of job to get working, Joe.
I know.
Well, the difference between a receiving and a sending set is, well, the difference between day and night. It's one thing to receive messages and another to send.
You know about radio, Bud?
Well, little, Annie, very little. I just hope it'll be enough. I studied it some in England, but as for building a set, well, I'm not sure I'm competent. But we can try anyhow.
Good for you, Bud.
Good for me? Well, I'm not sure of that, Joe. We may fail dismally on this. If there'd been wireless on board the Tiger, we might have had batteries, instruments, equipment here to use. As it is, we have to start from scratch.
Well, how do we start? We've got a pile of supplies and junk here in our beach house. Wires and metal from the wreck.
Now, take it easy, Annie. We need a lot of things. Those we don't have, we'll have to manufacture as best we can, if we can. Say, what have we got here anyhow?
Shucks, there's just about everything in those boxes over there stored up against the wall, Bud.
Well, let's get some of them out. Let's see just what we've got.
You bet.
This one Joe's getting is where we saw all that copper wire, Bud.
Good. There we are. Say, there is a lot of stuff in here.
You bet there is. I guess this must have been one of the boxes all the odds and ends were thrown in to be brought ashore just before the ship went off the reef.
Yes, no doubt of it. Well, I see Binnacle Bob's hand in this. Look at the junk, will you? Oh, my. Nuts, bolts, pieces of metal cable, belaying pins, a few pulley blocks from the loading mast. Oh, trust a real sailor like Bob not to leave anything behind. All sailors are more or less Scotch in their natures.
But can we use these things, Bud?
Use them? Well, we can more or less try, Annie.
Here's this big coil of copper wire we were telling you about, Bud.
Good wire. We can use that, Joe. The same as we can use some of these pulleys and blocks.
Shucks, how can we use them?
We can try to use them. Now, look, I haven't much hope in this radio wireless we're going to try to build. But we're going to have a shot at it, and even if we don't succeed, well, there's nothing lost.
Right.
So we'll have to start right at fundamentals. And the first thing any radio set needs is power. Electric power.
But, shucks, how can we get it? There aren't any electric lines down here on this unknown island for us to plug into.
No, Joe, but we've got to try to make our own power.
But how?
I think maybe we can manage it with all these things in this box. What we'll do to give us electric power, how much it'll be, I don't know. But we'll build a magneto.
A magneto?
Right. A magneto, you see, is a small generator. In other words, it makes power, or electricity, both being the same words for what we want. With these pulley blocks we have and all this copper wire, by winding the wire carefully, I think we can set up a fairly powerful magneto, which will make us electricity.
How, Bud? You mean it can make electricity?
Yes, with a core and a magnetic field. The idea is to make a permanent magnetic field. Then we need an armature, rotated with a crank, within that field, and also a circuit breaker and a distributing mechanism which serves to convey the generated voltage or electricity to a given point, the point which will be sending electric waves out into the air so that people back in civilization may receive them. Now, I don't swear to this, but I think we may do it. At any rate, it's worth a try. So, Joe, hand me that copper wire there, will you?
You bet.
This may work or it may not. At any rate, we'll try to get some power here. We'll work at it, and in a few days we'll know whether, as you Americans say, we're striking out or making a home run.
Say, our friends are working all right, but with the few materials they have at their hands, will they be able to build any sort of a radio or wireless set? Bud Wilcox seems to know a lot about it, but will he be able to find out enough of the things he needs in those odds and ends our party brought ashore from the wreck? But while Annie and the others are concentrating so hard on getting word back to civilization of their position, let's look in on the neighboring island. Captain Steele now is looked upon as a king, both by his crew and by the savages he has put under his command. For from his raid on our friends, he brought them back food supplies, food in cans, which the natives over there had never seen before, and for which his men had longed. And here he is now, Captain Steele with his man Black. Both are sitting on the shore of their island, the surf rolling in. And listen, Captain Steele is talking.
Black, We seem to be doing very well for ourselves.
Aye, sir, that we are.
We have food now, civilized food. Never knew before that a can of beans or a can of soup could taste so good.
It sure seemed good to the men, sir.
Yes. Fools, all of them.
Yes, sir?
Don't you be like them, Black. Nothing from civilization in the can is so good as the things we can cook down here for ourselves.
Aye, sir. But we can't pick nor cook no tobacco down here on this island.
Oh, right. This pipe of mine does taste good, Black. How about yours?
Right, Skipper. I feels almost contented.
How about the crew? Any more talk of mutiny?
No, Skipper. Since we brought them back this mess of tobacco and some good food, leastwise the kind they like, they've been mild and meek as little lambs, Skipper.
Good. Good, Black. Really, our raid on that other island was pretty easy, wasn't it?
That it was, sir. Why, all we did was barge in there, take what we wanted, and come away.
Exactly. I don't think it would quite be so easy the second time.
Second time? Skipper, was you thinking of...
Why not? I'm not a fool, Black. For all I know, we may be marooned on this island here in the South Pacific for the rest of our natural lives.
By the sea, Skipper. You think so?
I don't know, Black. It's just a supposition. We may be.
Supposition?
Yes.
Don't know much about them big words, Skipper.
Never mind. The point is that we may be here for more years than we'd like to remember. This being the case, our friends over on that other island, Black, have a lot of things that we could use.
Yeah, they sure have that. Saw a mess of junk stacked up along the walls, sailcloth and rifles and ammunition.
Exactly, and a number of other things. Black, I see no reason why we should not have the advantage of those materials our friends have.
By the sea, Skipper, and neither do I. You mean we should make another raid?
Why not? What have we to lose? These people are dumb, Black. Dumb. We can just as well have what they have. It's merely a matter of taking what we want.
Aye, sir.
And it's been done since the beginning of civilization. The strong take and the weak give. So I think, Black, another raid on that island to absolutely stamp out those who are living there would be to our advantage. Huh? What do you think?
Aye, Skipper. Sure, yeah.
Yes, I'm glad you agree with me. We will make our plans, Black.
Say, did you hear that? Steve is planning another raid on Annie's Island. What is going to happen now? And now, if you haven't sent in for your beautiful gold-plated two-initial signet ring with your very own two personal initials right on it, you certainly want to hurry and send in without another minute's delay. Because tomorrow night's the last night we'll be telling you about this marvelous ring on the radio. You know, it's the same two-initial ring Annie offered on the radio last spring to Ovaltine users for 10 cents and an aluminum seal. And now that Annie is sending them absolutely free to her friends who try new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine, you can imagine what's happened. Everybody started sending in right away. And the orders are piling up so fast, we're going to have to stop offering these swell rings on the radio after tomorrow night. And say, you don't want to run any chance of not getting your two-initial signet ring, no matter what happens. It's just too good to miss. Now, just listen to this. The ring itself is finished in genuine 24-karat gold plate. Then, the initials on top are finished in a beautiful, shiny silver tone to give a rich, smart, expensive-looking duotone effect. And just wait till you see how keen your initials look. They're big initials, 3/8 of an inch across, and they're bright and shiny and silvery-looking. These initials, remember, are the biggest thrill of all about your ring. They're your very own two personal initials, because when you send in, you tell Annie the initial of your first name and the initial of your last name. And then we make up your ring especially for you and put the exact two initials you ordered right on the top of your ring. Now remember, it's an automatic fitting ring, too, so you can be sure it will fit you exactly right. And don't forget, besides being just about the best-looking ring you've ever seen, you can have loads of fun with it, too, because it's a real signet ring, one you can use to put your personal seal on your letters and secret messages and things, just like kings and emperors and generals did with their signet rings years ago. To make your seal, you just melt some wax, press down your ring, and presto, there's your personal seal, your own two personal initials stamped right into the wax. And so you can see, here's one ring you'll be proud to wear wherever you go, because everybody knows that signet rings with your own two personal initials on them are usually very expensive. And so you can see, it's a chance in a million to be able to get this marvelous signet ring absolutely free just by trying new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. Now, listen closely, please, because here's all you have to do. Just print your name and address plainly on a piece of paper. Also print plainly the two initials you want us to put on your ring, and mail that paper together with all of the special gold-colored seal that you can find only underneath the lid of a can of new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. Mail it to Little Orphan Annie, Chicago, Illinois. Now remember, be sure to print your two initials plainly so there won't be any mistake when we make up your ring for you. And be sure to send in the gold-colored seal from a can of new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. So ask your mother to get you a can at her drug or grocery store right away. And then, as soon as you get it, take out that special gold-colored seal and send in for your ring. But don't forget, the big thing is to hurry. Tomorrow night's the last night we'll be telling you about these marvelous two-initial signet rings that you can get without sending in a penny. So send in this very night. And everybody wants to be here right on the dot tomorrow, because with Steele planning another raid, you can't tell what's going to happen to Annie next. Until tomorrow, then. Goodbye.
Dentists know what cleans teeth best. And over 4,000 dentists say Colgate tooth powder with a two-minute routine gets teeth sparkling and super clean. So to remove dull film and get your teeth shining clean, just brush teeth 2 minutes morning and night with Colgate tooth powder.
There's a world of wonderful entertainment awaiting you every weekday in the daytime with CBS Radio's roster of wonderful dramatic serials. This Monday, listen in.
Let's sing a song you don't hear every day. It's your old friend calling again. Hello, sweethearts. It's Smiling Ed McConnelly, Aladdin Lamp Man again. Have you heard this one lately? Heaven only knows how mad I am about you. Heaven only knows how sad I've been without you. When I hold you near, I can't conceal every little magic thrill I feel. Heaven only knows I long to call you my own. Then I know my dreams would all come true. Take me to your heart and say you love me. Heaven only knows that I love you. Now let's tell them how much we love them. Come on, real sweet now. We've been friends long enough, and I've been on the air for 21 years telling you about our wonderful Aladdin lamps, and never in all those 21 years have I had a line of lamps that compares for downright beauty with the Aladdin lamps we have in our store just waiting to be taken home by you, honey. They've been styled by one of the most outstanding lamp designers in the United States. A lovely Aladdin lamp on top of an end table makes that table look just that much prettier. An Aladdin floor lamp beside Dad's favorite easy chair will make the chair look even more comfortable, because that good Aladdin light is an invitation to sit down and read or visit for a while. Yes, honey, our Aladdin lamps are an important addition to the beauty of your home. Stop in at our store and pick out your favorite style real soon. And now for our hymn. The clouds of grief foreshadow the sky of time and sense. The path grows dark before us and fills us with suspense. But though life's fairest morning be covered with a shroud, we'll see in heaven's dawning the day without a cloud. The day without a cloud. The day without a cloud. Sometime, somewhere, we two shall share God's perfect day without a cloud. And I hope there isn't a cloud for any of my sweethearts today. This is Smiling Ed McConnell, the Aladdin Lamp Man, saying thanks for listening, honey, and be with us next time, 'cause we'll be back to sing a song you don't hear every day when we all come calling again.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY, featuring Smiling Ed McConnell on Aladdin Lamp. We also heard an episode of Little Orphan Annie. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s when the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Right now, OSS agents are in action during World War II on this exciting episode of Cloak and Dagger as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Are you willing to undertake a dangerous mission behind the enemy lines, knowing you may never return alive?
What you have just heard is the question asked during the war to agents of the OSS, ordinary citizens who to this question answered, yes.
This is Cloak and Dagger.
Black warfare, espionage, international intrigue. These are the weapons of the OSS. Today's adventure, Direct Line to Bombers, the story of an American OSS agent who, during the height of the war, directed from the streets of Berlin an American attack, is suggested by actual incidents recorded in the Washington files of the Office of Strategic Services. A story that can now be told.
After you get back from a mission, you sit around and there's nothing to do but sit around. So that's what I did. I sat in a room in Milton Hall in England where OSS agents are trained. I thought about the restaurant on 6th Avenue I wanted to open after the war. I was never so bored in my life. Yeah.
Hey, Nicky, the colonel wants to see you. Very important.
Okay, pal. Tell my pal, the colonel, I'll be there and win the war for him. Da 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 da. And that was how it all began, November 1944. After that, I didn't have time to be bored.
I know you've just come back from a mission in France, Lieutenant, so it's strictly up to you if you want to go out again immediately.
Oh, now listen, pal. I mean, Colonel. If I have to sit around here and do nothing, I'll blow my top.
You speak German, don't you?
Well enough to know that Hitler speaks a lousy German, full of grammatical errors. If I see him, I'll tell him.
You may be closer to him than you think. Corporal?
Yes, Colonel.
Send in Professor Warburg.
That's how I met the professor. He was a little guy with a beard. He weighed about as much as 10 cents worth of liver. And he reminded me of my chemistry teacher back in Lincoln Junior High School.
Professor, tell Lieutenant Olesnikos just what you told me.
With the greatest of pleasure, Colonel. Lieutenant, I am an escaped political prisoner of the Nazis. And I am here in England illegally.
And you just walked into headquarters and told that to the colonel, huh? Don't you know you can be interned?
I know that very well. But I can no longer sit by and be idle while I have a plan that I know can help the Allies.
What Professor Warburg suggests, Lieutenant, is that he be parachuted into Germany with another agent, make his way to Berlin.
I assure you I can move about Berlin blindfolded. I know it well.
Berlin? This could be interesting. What then?
Then, with a radio transmitter, we could pinpoint military targets to American planes overhead. We could direct bombs from the streets of Berlin itself.
Now, wait a minute. Walk around with a walkie-talkie in the middle of a raid carrying on conversation with bombers? When do we leave, pal?
I am ready any time. Today? Tomorrow? Yesterday?
The professor may have been ready yesterday, but the OSS wasn't. First, we were briefed for weeks how to get food coupons in Berlin, how to buy a railroad ticket, how to post a letter, how to greet a German officer in the street. Little things, an American cigarette, an English match, a laundry mark could give us away. And there were big things, too. We were grilled for hours on cover stories. Forgeries became documents. Fiction became fact. Passes, stamps, signatures. Everything authentic, everything ersatz, including my manners and habits. Till I was ready to pass as a citizen of Berlin. And then a plane took us high over German soil, and we jumped.
Made it, Nicky.
Yeah. It's only a few kilometers to Berlin. We can walk it. Make it before daylight.
We should find the farmer who owns this field and say Dankeschön for providing us with so ideal a landing place.
Yeah, we'll send him a letter sometime. Right now, let's get out of here.
We will wait where you are. Kindly keep your hands in the air. Unless you want that I blow your heads off. Or that my dog tear you to bits. Quiet, Ron. Been a good dog keeping so still.
Well, as your farmer, Professor, you still want to say Dankeschön.
Sit still. Do not talk.
You have made a mistake, my friend. My companion and I got lost trying to find the road. We came by accident on your field.
That's right. We both of us only recently discharged from the army. If you would care to see our papers right here in this knapsack.
Halt! If you don't keep your hands up, I will let the dog go for your throat. I do not care to see your papers. I saw you parachute from an American plane.
Uh-oh.
Walk now to the barn. Rolf will see to it that you stay there. Won't you, Rolf?
German farmer left us in the barn and he didn't have to lock the door. That big black Doberman with the impatient fangs watched us as if he wanted us to make a move so we could jump.
Oh, if we get out of this, my friend, I shall never again be a dog lover.
Professor, don't move. Don't turn your head. Just listen to me.
Yeah, I'm listening.
There's some harness straps hanging on a hook right over my head. I noticed them when I came in. If I can pull them down fast enough, I'll throw them over the dog when he leaps, try to entangle him.
Yeah, but...
There's some horse blankets near you. When I pull down the straps, throw the blanket over him. It's got to be fast. Better work.
I'm ready.
On three, then. One. Nice boy. Nice, nice, big, ugly mutt. Two. Three. The harness caught on the nail as I tried to pull it down, and the dog leaped at my neck. And then the nail came off, too, and the straps fell across the dog's snout. The professor flung the blankets over the dog's head.
I have him, Nicky, but I can't hold him.
The shovel. Where's that shovel I saw?
Hurry, hurry. I can't hold him.
Now I hit him again and again. And then suddenly the only sound in the barn was the dull thud of the shovel. The dog didn't move or make a sound. He never would again.
We had better get out now.
Yeah, let's go.
Ah, the smell of a bakery is always good.
How fortunate it is I have only this morning made Pfefferkuchen, Joseph. Just the way you always liked it.
How good to see you again, Anna. I told my friend Nicky that you would take us in, help us.
Natürlich, Nicky. I will do anything I can.
We may stay here then, Anna? Oh. If all goes well, we will leave right after the raid tomorrow night.
Yeah, 24 hours, all we need.
Of course, you may stay. I still live above the bakery. There is an extra room. My grandson, Emil, will not be home from the youth camp for a week
yet. Youth camp?
What could I do, Nicky? What could anyone do in these days in Berlin but ride with the wind until there is a chance to fight against it? Helping you and your mission will give me my chance.
Little Emil, 8 years ago seemed like only yesterday. I used to sit with him on my lap here in this bakery and twirl my gold watch on the chain for him. Remember, Anna, how he laughed?
Yeah, I remember. He has forgotten you by now. And you would not know him. He's 13 years old.
Oh, 13 years old.
Already they have poisoned his mind. I cannot get to him. I do not dare. He's a little parrot speaking only what is taught him. Nicky, some more coffee?
No, thank you, Frau Leitner.
More Pfefferkuchen or Apfelstrudel. A specialty of my shop, Apfelstrudel.
No, thanks.
6 years ago, at this very table, I had Emil on my lap when the Gestapo walked in and arrested me.
Yeah.
They did not like what I taught in their school.
Hey, what's that? Someone's coming.
I don't know who it can be. Customers never come by this late.
Grandmother, surprise, I'm home.
Emil!
What is, man?
Emil, your manners. These are friends, just passing through Berlin. They are just staying the night. This is Herr Neudeck and Herr Josef.
Wie geht's?
Heil Hitler.
Oh, yes, of course. Heil Hitler.
I did not expect you until next week, Emil. How is it you are here so early?
I won a great honor, which I want to tell you about. I did not know I'd have to share it with strangers.
Shame, Emil. These men are... Well... Soldiers of the Fatherland.
Yeah?
Yes, Emil, we were both with the elite guard of one of Rommel's Panzer divisions.
Rommel?
Yes, that is before we received our medical discharges.
Oh, Rommel. Sit down, my boy. I will bring you something to eat, yeah?
Don't you want to hear about the honor I received? Look, Grandmother, on my sleeve.
A red swastika.
Yeah, red for the youth movement. And a swastika because I learned my lessons faster than the others. The commander-in-chief of the whole youth movement awarded me my swastika, and he told me I could take my vacation a week early. Are you proud of me, Grandmother?
Yeah, my boy, yeah. Let me get you something to eat.
Oh, no, I'm too tired. Going up to bed. Grandmother said you were staying here. Will I see you in the morning, gentlemen?
Well, I'm not sure.
Oh, they will be here. Now that you are home, Emil, I will sleep on the couch and give them my room.
No, no, please.
Oh, it is all right. It is settled.
Good. Perhaps then, Herr Josef, you will tell me about Rama. A great leader.
Yes, yes, perhaps. We will see you in the morning, Emil.
Why do you stare at me?
Do I stare, boy?
I thought so. Have I met you before, Herr Josef?
No, I am sure not.
Your face. Ever since I came in. Grandmother, have I met him here before?
No, no, Emil. Herr Josef was here before you were born, even. You have never seen him. It has been years, 15 maybe, before you were born.
I suppose so.
Well. Good night.
Professor, he wouldn't remember, would he?
Oh, how could he, Nicky? He was a baby that last day Josef saw him, barely 5 years old. And the professor was 30 pounds heavier, at least. And clean-shaven.
Yeah, yeah. Anna is right, Nicky. Do not worry. He could not remember. Do not worry.
But I couldn't help worrying. I lay awake half the night thinking about that kid in the room next door. The 13-year-old puppet with the new red swastika. It was just a feeling I had, a funny kind of feeling at the pit of my stomach that made me wish they'd kept him in that youth camp until after we were gone. When I got up, the sun had been up for hours, and so had the professor. I went downstairs to the bakery. There was the smell of fresh bread baking, and I knew Frau Leitner was in the kitchen. But the professor was sitting at the table, swinging his watch on the gold chain and talking to that German quiz kid.
What else have you learned, Emil?
But why do you want to know?
Oh, I'm just interested. I want to see how well you have earned that swastika.
I stood at the bottom of the stairs and listened.
We have a leader who has revolutionized Germany. He is the greatest man who ever was or will be. When I joined the Führer's organization, the man in charge said, "Join no other organization but this. Forward, forward, the banner leads us to eternity."
Oh, you have learned your lesson well,
Herr Josef, are you sure I have never seen you before?
Of course not, my boy.
I seem to remember.
Herr Josef.
Ah, good morning, Herr Neudeck.
Since we're just passing through Berlin, don't you think we ought to see a few of the sights before we leave?
Yeah, yeah, you're right. We will leave now. Perhaps later, Emil, we will talk more.
The raid was scheduled for that night. The professor and I had a lot of work to do. We made arrangements to meet about 4:30 that afternoon at a tavern on Wilhelmstrasse. We went separate ways. I did a lot of walking, and I made a lot of notes in my head. The Klingenberg power plant was still functioning. The Ostkreuz junction of the city railroad had been repaired. There was an ammunition dump on the north side that our bombers couldn't see from the air. It's a nice day. A lot of Germans were walking the streets. And I made a lot of notes in my head.
You reached the order now, mein Herr.
Nine later. I am waiting for a friend. The professor was 15 minutes late, and I started to get nervous. Maybe somebody had recognized him. I sat there and sweated it out. 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half hour. And then he finally came. But he wasn't alone.
Herr Neudeck, this is Hauptmann Müller. We met only this afternoon, and I invited him to come and have dinner with us.
It was not quite that way, Herr Neudeck. It was I who insisted upon coming alone.
Gewiss, sit down.
You were with one of Rommel's panzer divisions, I understand.
Yes, we were only recently discharged from the army.
Myself, I am just back. We will have much to talk about. Where is that stupid waiter? There are never around when you need them.
He will be here presently.
Presently is not soon enough. I will go to see him myself. I'll be right back.
Where did you pick him up?
He found me, my friend. There is a reservoir near the rail line. I was looking around. I think he was a little suspicious at first, but when I told him I was with Rommel, he became more friendly. Yeah, I am beginning to believe I was in Africa myself.
Just the same, I wish you could have shaken him. What did you find out?
It was a profitable afternoon. And you?
A profitable afternoon.
Good. Shh, he comes back.
Yes. At first, it seems strange to me that Herr Josef here should show so much interest in the reservoir.
Well, I was merely taking a stroll, getting reacquainted with Berlin.
Then I watched you. I saw you walk down towards the rail line. That was when I stopped you and began to talk.
We are both glad you did, Herr Hauptmann. Give us this opportunity to get acquainted.
Yeah.
Hope we shall see more of you while we're in the capital.
Perhaps, Herr Neudeck. Perhaps you shall see a great deal of me. I think I shall call the waiter and order some brandy. Oh, I see you have not yet finished your meal, Herr Neudeck. You're still eating.
It's very good. Our diet at the hospital was not so varied.
No doubt.
Everything I ate stuck in my throat.
I know one of the nurses
wouldn't go down. I knew that German officer was watching me as he talked.
Yes.
Watching me strangely, and I didn't know why. I knew that something was wrong, and I didn't know why. The professor felt it, too.
Her name is Gertrude, this little Fräulein I tell you about. And she has friends. Oh, some very pretty friends. You would like to meet them, perhaps?
Yes, we would like to very much, Herr Hauptmann.
How you would have enjoyed them. We might have had great fun together. All of us. Unfortunately, you may be otherwise engaged with the Gestapo.
What did you say, Herr Hauptmann?
I have been watching you all through dinner, Herr Neudeck. You are an American. Do not move, either of you. I have my hand on my gun.
Well, surely you're joking.
No European eats the way you do. To change the fork from the left hand to the right after the knife is used. At first, it escaped me. I just knew something bothered me. Then I realized what it was.
The little thing that could put a rope around my neck.
Only Americans hold the fork sideways in the right hand.
In my nervousness, I'd forgotten a little thing like that European manner of eating.
The Gestapo will be very pleased.
The sharp knife I'd been eating with was still in my hand.
Very pleased.
Almost as if it moved by itself, it disappeared under the table and halfway into the German office.
Oh. Good work, Mickey.
Good. I was stupid to get myself into that jam in the first place. We're not out of this yet. Waiter.
Ja, mein Herr.
Check, please. A friend has had a little too much to drink. We will take him home.
Yeah, right away.
Between the two of us, we managed to get him out of there. His head was rocking back and forth like a drunk. The knife was still in him, so the blood didn't flow very much. He kept his cape around him.
All right. There is no one around here, Nicky. We can dump him behind this shed.
All right. We're beginning to leave a trail a mile long. So long, pal. It was nice meeting you. Come on, Professor. Let's go. Back to the bakery, there was more trouble waiting for us. Trouble 61 inches high, weighing about 110 pounds, wearing a new red swastika on his arm.
It is no mistake, but I...
They're in the kitchen. Something is wrong.
I don't like the sound of that. Come on.
You are confusing with someone else.
No. Why are you so stubborn?
This morning when we were that watch on the chain, I thought I remembered something, and just now how I did.
Oh, you have never seen Herr Josef before,
I have,
Emil.
I have. When I was very little, the Gestapo came. They arrested a man with a gold watch on a chain. I tell you, he is the same one.
Emil, they do not even look alike.
And what about this broadcast radio I found hidden in your bedroom in a hat box?
It's called a walkie-talkie, Emil. What? Give it back to me.
Nicky! Josef,
come back. You see, we've wasted time. I should have gone to the authorities right away. They have tricked you, Grandmother.
He knows, Anna.
I am afraid so. I've been holding him here, hoping you would return.
What did you say? You knew Grandmother, didn't you? They didn't trick you at all. Traitor. You're a traitor, too.
Amy,
get
Amy,
away from me. I hate you.
Nicky, get him. He's trying to run.
Yeah, I've got him.
Let me go. Report to the Gestapo. They kill you. They have you shot.
You're not going to report anyone. What'll I do with him?
Upstairs, his bedroom. Lock him there until after you have gone.
Right.
Let go of me. Get your hands off me. I hate you all. Let me go.
We'll have to come with us when we leave here tonight, Anna. You cannot stay now.
Professor is right, Frau Leitner. That kid upstairs will turn you over to the Nazis so fast you won't know what happened to you.
My little Emil, turn me in. Josef, would he?
Yeah, I'm afraid he would, Anna. It is best that you come with us. We are going to try to get through the lines into France. Once there are underground workers who will help us.
Yeah. Nicky. Is it all right if I bring this tray of food up to him? He has not eaten. He's still such a little boy.
Yeah, sure. You. All right, take it up, but don't untie his hands, remember?
Yes, I will remember.
And the raid ought to start soon. Let's go over this map, make sure we have everything right, huh?
Yeah. No, the rail line is here.
Mm-hmm.
Sector 2, grid B3.
If our bombers knock that out, Berlin's transportation is completely crippled. And here, on the map, power plant is in sector 6, grid G5.
Nicky, he's gone.
What?
Yeah, his hands. He got them loose. He lowered himself from the window with the bedsheet. What are we to do? He'll bring the Gestapo back with him.
We don't know how long he's been gone. Professor, the window, quick.
Yeah.
The back door.
There is a car coming. I can see it.
There is an alley and
now
we
look,
can...
Now, look, no time. They'll have this place surrounded. How do you get to the roof?
The roof, yeah. Up those stairs. We can go to the other rooftops and perhaps escape.
There better be no perhaps about it. We went up to the attic stairs and onto the roof. You could see the Germans from there. Four of them in black shirts spilled out of an armored car. Two of them broke in through the front door. Two of them started around to the rear. Then we heard Emil.
There they are up there! On the roof!
Emil! My boy! Don't!
Anna! Nicky, she's dead.
Well, it won't do her any good if we stay here. Come on, across the parapet.
Air raid.
Oh, that's music to my ears. At least it'll keep them from getting more help right now.
Stay where you are! Surrender now and it will go easier with you!
Come and get us, pal! One of them did try to come and get us, and he got it first. Right between the eyes. He swayed for a few seconds back and forth, and then he fell off the roof onto the street.
Ah, that's one of them, Nicky. There are only two left.
Two? What happened to the third?
Nicky, behind you!
Fourth Nazi had come up the other way, through somebody else's attic and onto the roof behind.
Get your hands up!
And now there are just two left, Professor. Hey, Professor, what is it?
My leg. I can't move it. I can't go any further, Nicky.
What happened afterwards was a nightmare. It was as if the earth cracked wide open. It was red hot and burning, and the noise of the planes and the ack-ack and the German guns and the bombing made my stomach turn. We crouched behind a parapet, and I held them off while the professor directed the bombers.
Attention! Attention, bombers! The Klingenberg power plant is still functioning and supplies electric power to vital industries. Bomb Sector 6, grid G5. The Ostkreuz junction of the city railroad has been repaired. Knock it out, and all traffic in Berlin will be stopped. Sector 2, grid B3.
Professor,
now, Nicky, while there is a chance. I can hold them off long enough for you to get away.
I can't leave you here.
No, no, they won't take me. Don't worry.
Now, look, I'll carry you. We'll make it. Come on.
Listen. Listen to me, Nicky. Go across the next two rooftops and then down through the skylight. There is a tailor shop.
Yeah, but Professor...
Go out the back door there. It leads to an alley. Once over the fence, under cover of the raid, you can make it.
Now, look, I won't go without you.
All right. I will change your mind. Attention. Attention, bombers.
Hey, what are you doing?
Attention, bombers. Imperative. Wait 2 minutes and bomb crossroads at Sector 7, Grid D3.
Hey, Professor, what are you doing? You're crazy. That's here, this sector.
Go on, run. Run, Nicky. I'll cover you.
I ran. I stumbled and fell and got up and ran again. When I got down in the alley through the tailor shop, I kept on running. And then the bomb fell and the concussion rocked the ground and I went flat on my face. When I looked back, I knew that our bombers had made another direct hit. Professor had not only held off the Germans while I got away, but kept them there until it was too late for any of them. A little German bakery that specialized in Apfelstreudel folded up as if it had been made of matchsticks. Somewhere in the wreckage, the professor with his gold watch on the chain was buried under it. And overhead, the planes headed back. There was nothing left for me there. I headed back, too.
Lieutenant Gus Olesnikus made his way to France and after months from there to England. But his direction of the bombing raid from the target itself kept some of Berlin's major industries crippled and its transportation system paralyzed. And once again, the report of an OSS agent closes with the words...
Mission accomplished.
Listen next week when we again present...
Cloak and Dagger. Heard in today's Cloak and Dagger adventure were Everett Sloan, Bill Zuchert, Lily Darvas, Barry Kroger, Michael Artist, Raymond Edward Johnson, Carl Weber, Jerry Jarrett, Bobby Weil, and Brad Barker. Script was written by Winifred Wolfe and Jack Gordon. Music was under the direction of John Gart. Today's true OSS adventure was based on the book Cloak and Dagger by Corey Ford and Alistair McBain. This has been a Lewis G. Cowan production, in association with Alfred Hollander, and was under the direction and supervision of Sherman Marks. NBC offers three of radio's top mystery adventure shows, The Big Guy, Sam Spade, and The Saint. So if mysteries are your meat, listen in tonight. Next, hear High Adventure, then The Big Guy on NBC.
10 p.m. BULOVA, Bulova Watch Time. For supreme accuracy, expert design, and outstanding value, choose a Bulova, masterpiece of fine watchmaking. WEAF, New York.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY and the Adventures of OSS Agents during World War II on an episode of Cloak and Dagger. This has been the Golden Age of Radio. Classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.